Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. Hello to all flower farmers, aspiring flower farmers, farmer florists, and my mom that keeps listening. Thanks, Mom. Today, we're going to do part two of the mini series. If you didn't listen to part one yet, go back and listen to it before you come back into this one. So this mini series is on ways to reduce burnout on your flower farm. And as I talked about in the previous episode, part one, so part one is going to be, you know, profitability, knowing your numbers, knowing goals, knowing what you're actually working toward from a revenue and sales standpoint, knowing your expenses, all of that. Part two is going to be the power of hiring and building a strong team. And maybe for some of you, this is just the right kind of volunteers or, you know, delegating certain things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hire someone to do the actual flowers, but maybe it's find someone to help with your accounting, your bookwork, your marketing, whatever that might be, but just having someone on your team. And then part three is crop planning. So growing the right amount of the right kinds of flowers. So welcome back to the podcast. We're going to dive deeper into the topic of hiring help on your farm. And it is one of the most transformative things that I have done for my business. You can do anything, but you can't do everything. And I totally understand that some of you want to be a solopreneur. You want the business to entirely run on you. And that's okay. And you definitely can do this and succeed that way because there are headaches that come with hiring help. But I will tell you this much, it is really hard to take a break. It's hard to take a vacation. It's hard to feel that pressure. And once you get the right people hired for the right roles, I promise that is how you can grow and scale. And if you scale your business without fixing the problems, then you end up just scaling your problems. So whether you're running a flower farm of any kind or seasonal small business, the decision to hire and how to hire the right person can be a game changer. I want to talk about the process, how it helped me reduce burnout, and how I finally feel like I figured out the right balance in season three of having employees. So this was season five of my flower farm, and this was the third year of having actual paid employees. In the Foundations of PPP course, we go in depth about what to consider when you're thinking about hiring help. But one of the key tools that I walk you through is the hiring matrix. So the matrix helps you decide what roles to fill first and how to prioritize based on what makes the most sense for your business. For example, I do not want you to hire away the fun parts of your business. The tasks that fuel your passion and your creativity, I want you to be able to keep doing those. But there are always those tasks that either drain your time and energy or you suck at. Maybe you shouldn't be doing it. I know that for myself, like graphic design, I suck at it. I don't like doing it and I suck at it. But, you know, taking time to do something in Canva, whether it's a PDF or a graphic, I take too long and it doesn't turn out good and I end up getting annoyed and I do a half-assed job and there's spelling errors and grammar errors and I'm just not good at it. I should not be doing those things. So maybe it's bookkeeping, managing your website, handling social media. Maybe it's not just making the bouquets. Maybe it's just weed pulling. Maybe it's just picking flowers in the evening and then you can arrange them the next morning. But when you can delegate one of these tasks, even if it's just one little thing, if it's something small, like having someone come out a few hours a week to do something, it can free up so much of your schedule. Imagine all of the time and mental space that you can reclaim. And whether you're focusing on the bigger picture projects or growing your business, or maybe you're just spending time with your family, that little shift can be a game changer. The other night, Brent and I were inside the house. It was Friday night. There was a wedding on Saturday. I had a wedding on Friday, a wedding on Saturday that I was doing flowers for. And Sydney was here working in the shop, putting together, she had to do one bridal bouquet, 5 boutonnieres, and 4 wrist corsages. And I kept glancing outside, like, oh, like we were done eating. Like we were just hanging out as a family. And I was like, I could be out there. I'm like, Brent, this feels really good to know that I have budgeted to pay her. It's within my profit margins. I don't have to be working. I already put in a 10, 12 hour day because I got up at like 5 a.m. and was answering emails. And now it was, you know, 6 o'clock at night. We finished eating and I didn't have to put in a 15 hour day. Now, this was something that, yep, I could have turned on the TV for the girls. I could have gone out and finished those bouquets. Here I'm paying someone to do something that I don't even necessarily hate doing, but is not sustainable for me to work 13, 14, 15 hour days. And I'm not going to do it. And I'm so excited to be able to say, nope. And Sydney's hired. And also knowing that there was no questioning. She wasn't wondering what I was doing. She understood that she was here because she wanted to be and she wanted to work those hours. And for so long, I felt like I had to prove to my employees that I was working too. And, you know, I didn't want them to think I was lazy or if they were working, I should be working. And it definitely took a mindset shift, but it just is so freeing. And I'm really learning and evolving as a leader. So what's really exciting about hiring is that it's not just about getting help with the workload. It's about becoming a better leader and manager. I am continuously learning and evolving, both as a business owner and as someone that is responsible for employees. And this year, it's actually the first time that I've hired someone whose livelihood depends on my business succeeding. So it's no longer just a side hustle or extra cash for someone to make during summer break. This employee isn't just filling in hours around a real job. This is their real job. And that was when I hired Tina, my administrative assistant. And that brings a whole new level of responsibility for me that I do not take lightly. And honestly, it's a bit scary at times. There are times when I don't want that pressure, when I don't feel like someone else's financial well-being is riding on the success of my farm and my business. But at the same time, it's that very pressure that helps me move forward and make sure that failure is not an option. So building a livelihood, not just a business. What I love about this part of my journey is it's no longer just about me. It's about expanding the business in a way that provides meaningful work for others. And the fact that my business is able to provide that livelihood for someone else is an incredible feeling. It's not just seasonal work or extra cash. It's a way to support a life and a family. And that's something I never expected when I first started this flower farm. And it really does feel like such a huge accomplishment. And at the same time, it's been a reminder that we need systems and structures in place to set people up for success. So when you bring someone into your business, they need clarity about what is expected of them. And they need to understand your day-to-day operations, but they don't need to know every detail of your long-term vision because that's your role as the leader. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at 10 bucks an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. So I've been talking a lot recently about the difference between being a manager and being a leader. And right now I feel like I'm still in the manager phase. I was definitely in the operator phase for a long time, but I've transitioned into manager and I'm trying to get into more of a leader. Maybe someday I'll be in the owner stage, but honestly, I always want to work and there are so many things to be done within this business that I don't think I'm going to go to being an owner for a really, really, really long time. But right now, I'm still involved in the daily tasks and overseeing what's happening. But I want to transition into a leader role where I'm more focused on guiding the business from a higher level, ensuring that we have strong systems in place and that my team knows what they need to do without my constant input. So one of the things that I've learned is there's no magic number or of hours or employees that will make everything easier. In fact, as your business scales, so do your challenges. So it's like, think of it like building a Jenga tower, and then you keep taking out those pieces and then you keep putting more pieces on top. If your foundation isn't solid, everything is going to collapse. But when you have the right team and the right systems, it creates that stability and it allows you to keep growing. So at the end of the day, hiring help is a huge responsibility, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. It's not just about getting through the busy season, but it's about building a sustainable business that can grow without burning you out. Now, like I said, in PPP, we cover that hiring matrix. So I don't want you to be too scared when it comes to adding on your first employees. It can definitely be as simple as bringing on someone for a few hours a week to pull weeds or handle your social media or whatever it might be. But the smallest shift can really free up and help you focus on the bigger picture. And trust me, once you start building that support system, it becomes so clear that success is about teamwork. Now, like I said, Brittany was here with me last summer. So this is her second summer in a row working here. And I had her really heavily involved about what system was going to be happening. One thing I want to talk about is the concept of a bottleneck. If you've ever felt like you're the one holding things up in your business, like you're the reason why things aren't moving forward or as fast as they could be, then you've experienced being a bottleneck. So a bottleneck is that one spot in your system that everything slows down or comes to a stop. And in the early days of hiring help, I realized that I was the bottleneck of my own farm. And it wasn't because I didn't have enough help. It wasn't because my employees couldn't handle the workload. The issue was I was the one slowing things down. And worse, I didn't even realize it. So at first, it's easy to blame other people for little things. You know, maybe they're coming in late every day, or they're wanting to adjust the schedule and they want subscriptions to be later because it's hard for them to get the amount of work done at the same time. And it's easy for me to say, well, it's their fault because of this. It's their fault because of that. When really, I am the one who allowed it to happen. And, you know, maybe they didn't want to do weekend work, or maybe they wanted to be involved in more planning and strategies. And every time something went wrong, I thought, well, you know, they should know better, or this or that isn't working because of them. But here's the thing. I hadn't been clear. I was making assumptions. And, you know, maybe sometimes that assumption is if you are supposed to be here at 7 and you don't get here at 7, you're supposed to write down the time you're supposed to get here, not 7. I thought that was common sense, but no, sometimes you have to like specifically say those things. And I was expecting people to read my mind. And once I took a step back and saw that I was the bottleneck because I was holding my team back with my own unclear expectations. So a big turning point was when I started planning the schedule around reducing expenses and managing my time better. So for example, I work as a nurse practitioner on Wednesdays. So I needed to figure out how to get those bouquets prepared without me being there. So with tulips, I learned that they can be prepped a couple days early and kept in the cooler. So once I started strategically planning like this, everything began running more smoothly and I could hire the right help based on what I knew I would need. And so I don't want you to react to everything at the last minute. I want you to think ahead and plan. And that is why I named my course Peddling Perishable Products, because peddling perishable products takes planning. So for example, in the summer, I strategically placed my stem bars and my U-picks based on when I knew I would need subscriptions. So I predicted what would need to be done ahead of time and set up the schedule accordingly. I also started utilizing a lot of organizational tools to communicate with my employees, and we would highlight important things in yellow, or, you know, such as, you know, we need purple dahlias for a wedding next weekend. So, you know, make sure you use pink flowers for subscriptions this week, and letting them know ahead of time. They don't need to know all the details, but they just need to know what they can and can't do and have that autonomy to make a decision when they need to. So by my third season of having an employee, I feel like I finally got it right. So it wasn't magic. There wasn't a magic number of hours or bouquets that suddenly make it easier. Because like I said, scaling the business didn't just scale my revenue, it also scaled my problems. So running a flower farm is kind of like playing Jenga. But the key was getting out of my own way. I had to stop being the bottleneck. My employees, they don't need to know the big vision of the farm because that's my job as the owner, but they need to know what to do day to day and what is expected of them. So I realized that I'm a verbal processor. I think and dream out loud, and sometimes that creates confusion because I haven't made clear distinctions between daily tasks and long-term goal. So I had to accept the different roles and what I was doing and trying to scale that business in a sustainable way rather than burning myself out. So key takeaways, bottlenecks, they often start with us as the owner, being unclear about expectations and not planning ahead. Planning is crucial to reducing stress and expenses. This includes strategic scheduling and using tools to communicate effectively with your team. Hiring help is not going to magically solve your problems. In fact, it may reveal where the foundation is weak, but that is where the growth happens. So if you want to build a team, learn to stop micromanaging and start leading. So if you are looking to hire help or bring on someone to regularly help you, I want you to decide, do you need help with the actual farm and in person? Or is what you need a bookkeeper or an accountant or someone to do your social media or someone to do your marketing or someone to just keep things organized behind the scenes, answer the phone, go through your emails, whatever that might be. Maybe you just forward them emails and tasks and they organize it all for you. Whatever that might be, do you need, you know, a virtual assistant, or would that be helpful if you don't want to get out of the day-to-day of the flower farming? Or do you need help on the actual farm with the physical labor and making the bouquets, whatever it might be? So first decide what that might look like for you. And then, you know, if you do decide that what you need help on the flower farm is, so first I want you to start by listing the tasks that you find time consuming or overwhelming. This could be anything from weeding, harvesting, bouquet making, or handling social media, bookkeeping, event planning. Do not hire away the parts of the business that you enjoy right away, but focus on the tasks that free up your time for higher value activities. Next, I want you to start small. If you're unsure about committing to a full-time employee or even part-time, look at just a few hours a week and see how the additional hands can benefit your business and workflow. This way, you can gauge how well things are going before you expand the role. Now, I do want you to make sure that you talk to your accountant, learn the laws of the state that you live in. Do you need to W-2 this person, or can you get by with 1099-ing them? That's something really important to know. I want you to look for compatibility and passion. So working on a flower farm is more than just physical work. It's about being passionate about flowers, having attention to details, and being a team player. Look for someone who genuinely enjoys farm life, is willing to learn, and can bring a positive attitude to the role. Experience can be taught, but enthusiasm and work ethic are really hard to train. I want you to create clear job descriptions and expectations. Clearly define what the employees will be responsible for, what their hours are, and expectations. This will avoid so much confusion and helps them understand their role from day one. So be specific when they need to arrive, what tasks are priorities, and how they should report their progress. One way that I always teach employees, whether it's, you know, someone that's W-2'd or one of my 1099 staff that helps with like the podcast or, you know, administrative stuff or whatever, what are the things that have to be completed in order for the next person to get their job done? So, you know, we're prioritizing, you know, I can't do my job until your part is done. So can you please try to get your part done right away? And if there's something else that can get done at any time, that's a lower priority. So just really teaching them like those expectations. I want you to train thoroughly and document the processes. So spend time training your new employee. Don't assume that they know what's going on in your head or how you want things done. So if you can make guides or checklists for those repetitive tasks to make their learning process smoother and more consistent, that can really help. This one is really important. Set up a system for communication. We did this year for the first time. So we use a whiteboard for task lists, and then we use Google Docs and a group chat to make sure that we are really organized. The Google Docs is actually called Flower Master List, and it goes out until September of 2025 right now. We have all the important things that we need for flowers. And then we'll even go through and, you know, 3 weeks before that wedding, we'll put, you know, order flowers for this date or whatever it might be. And in the summertime, it'll say like Monday, 10 extra pickup bouquets, 30 subscriptions, stem bar at the farm, plan for this many people. And it'll say who's working, anything like that. And then on Tuesday, it'll say, you know, wholesale order on Friday for Taylor. Make sure you're not picking those flowers. And so then we know to check the order on Friday, because starting Tuesday, we got to make sure to not pick those colors or whatever it might be. And it's just a really good communication tool for going back and forth. So that is something that we're going to talk about that on the webinar with Brittany and Lydia. And I'm pretty excited for that, to hear their perspective on it. But I also want you to be patient and adjust your expectations. So the first few weeks of having help might feel like you're spending more time training them than getting things done, but this is an investment. Be patient, knowing that once they understand the rhythm, they're going to save you so much time. So just adjust your expectations as you both learn the best ways to work together. I'm really excited as things progress to have Tina on the podcast. If I had her on right now, it would not go well. We're still really learning our groove. She started working for me about a little over 2 months ago, and we're still just, there's so much that she's had to learn, because she helps a lot with like the behind the scenes administrative stuff. She's not out on the farm at all. So she's helping with the podcast. She's helping with the orders of the farm. She's helping, you know, with contact forms. She's just getting everything organized, and she's helping with my courses and our, yeah. So she's just almost more or less my like personal assistant. And it's been a learning curve, and I've learned a lot about myself, and it's been really good. I want you to test before you commit. This is a good idea. So I did this last summer with someone, and it worked out pretty well, but hiring someone can feel like a big commitment. So consider testing it. So like hire for a trial period, a few weeks or a season, and then just kind of assess how the dynamic works. Maybe this isn't what people thought it was going to be. So a trial run can help both of you determine if it's a good fit. I've had people come and they're like, I had no idea it was going to be this much work. You know, they assume it's a garden and they're just kind of picking as they go, when really I'm like, nope, there are three rows of snapdragons, and I need you to pick every single bloom that's ready. And it's literally hundreds of blooms at once. And then they go on to the next flower of the next row. Like, it's harvesting. It's not picking flowers. It is literally harvesting crops. And that can be a lot more labor than people think it is. It's not just making the bouquets and it's like assembly line and you're making 50 bouquets, not picking flowers and arranging and being super creative. So hiring your first employee can feel really overwhelming, but if you approach it strategically and focus on finding the right fit, it can be an incredibly rewarding experience. So not only will it help reduce your workload and avoid burnout, but it also allows you to scale your flower farm in new and exciting ways for seasons to come. I really think that the webinar is going to be heavily focused on this, because I think most people think, I can't afford to hire an employee. And I want to kind of crush some of those self-limiting beliefs, because if you hire someone that is a revenue generator or allows you to pause, sharpen your axe, do things that, you know, duplicate your time, allow you to sell more flowers, it definitely can pay for itself and then some. So thank you so much for listening to part two of ways that I reduce burnout on my farm. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.